Well, the magic of movies is something special. It allows people like you and me to sit back, relax, and enjoy and forget about things for a while. But you know what? There's a fair amount of work involved in making films. And, you know, we're going to talk about a film today with the movie makers of a film shot in Door County. It's called The Emissary. Tim Erskine is the director and writer of The Emissary. His degrees in mechanical engineering from the University of Arizona. Also the inventor of 60 patents, something
that's,
like
that's
that?
That's right. Well, I'm an inventor on a little over 60 patents, mainly in medical devices, which is where I spent kind of the bulk of my professional career, and I'm in the middle of a massive career change and loving that.
Talk about massive. Oh, my goodness me. That's wonderful. And we'll talk some more about that. But Holly Erskine, Erskine, is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Okay, I was hoping I had that right. You were the producer of The Emissary.
Yes, I'm surprised to be a producer. I never imagined I would be.
Well, this is so much. Well, you, and here you are. You teach chemistry, right?
Yes, that's my background. I have a PhD in medicinal chemistry. So both Tim and I are science geeks. So that's
the really cool
angle that we're coming at this from.
Well, I'm a professor in the Department of Life Sciences mm-hmm. Communication, so
yes.
That's what our department's a lot about, science communication, and a lot of ways. So I was excited and really glad to have you here today to talk about your film, which is, I haven't seen it yet, but I wish that I was going to be in Fish Creek next week.
Oh, next Thursday.
Next
the
Thursday.
Skyway Drive-In.
I love that drive-in. I've been there many times. So.
Yeah, it's a blast from the past, and it's just so much fun to go. And they've updated the projector to be digital.
Yeah.
The audio sounds fantastic in your car and the FM radio, and there's places for the kids to play. And we're going to have our 10-foot diameter spaceship prop set up and lit up.
Which we built in our garage.
Well, it says, and we should just, let's go right back to that for a minute. Now, what have we got here with the film The Emissary? What's it about?
Well, the premise of the movie is that thousands of years ago, a small group of aliens made it to our solar system and built a colony out somewhere near the orbit of Saturn, far away in secret from the Earth, and slowly populated it with humans. And now it has a population of 30,000 individuals, and they're known as the Emissary, and their role is to act as intermediaries to assist people on the Earth in whatever ways they can between these few aliens. And in our story, there's no faster than light travel, no hyperspace, and so it mm-hmm. takes centuries for a ship to move from where these aliens are to the Earth and
we wanted
and back,
all the science so. To be accurate. That was important to us.
What? And that's great. I'm glad that you did that. And you start, I mean, here we are. The first part is you're on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yes. There's.
You wouldn't want to be on it, to be perfectly honest, but.
Yes, that deciding to have the movie open with the wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald cost me about 2 years in post-production.
Animating water shots.
Yeah, sweating
don't do
behind
it.
A hot computer. it was the most difficult technical aspect for sure was the wave and water effects and doing the shipwreck. But we're quite proud of it. It's literally millions of dollars of animation had I hired that out. And We wanted to do the movie the way we wanted, and not or mm-hmm. being our first film, we weren't going to raise that kind of money. So it was just I had to bite the bullet and do the work myself. And luckily, I have a background in computer programming and engineering, and I can absorb and learn how to do these things. You know, it takes a little bit of time, but I'm
more money than we have.
Yeah, I'm nothing if not determined. So.
Well, why did this big sea change to begin with? I mean, why going from engineering to film?
Well, for me, it's not actually a sea change.
Not that far.
No, I feel like I was born a storyteller and an artist, and it just took to this part in my life to put that to full effect. And so being an engineer rather than a hard scientist like a physicist or a chemist, that's a business of creating things from raw materials of the world.
Right.
So in a sense, that's a creative endeavor. I was always most drawn to art when I was a child, and it was my favorite subject. But I also liked daydreaming about things. And when I was 10 years old, my father bought a little cassette recorder from Sears and brought it home. And, man, that just lit me up. I would do these elaborate radio plays, dragging all my friends into it, all these silly, crazy
Which
things. And
it,
to me, it seemed like the most natural
great.
Thing in the world. We still have some of those old tapes with my little high-pitched voice making out like a Nazi spy and things like this. So that's always been a part of me. And my family is very theatrical. I think it came much from my mother. My younger brother is a professional comic part of the time. Mm-hmm. He does improv comedy, and he appears in the movie, and he's absolutely hysterical. So I need an excuse to feature him anyway.
So there's a comedic, I mean, it's science fiction, but there's a comedic aspect to this.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure.
We wanted this to be fun, but serious at the same time, so that it had a life-affirming message and was left you with a good feeling when you left the movie, and maybe left you with some things to contemplate by depicting the science in an authentic way rather than magical way. You could imagine the size of our solar system and the distance between the planets and the distance between the Earth and the Moon and how hard it is to travel in space, things like that. So it gave you a little something to hang your hat on after you left. And this whole underlying theme of mindfulness and awareness and appreciating the presence is kind of a current theme, but something that we try to practice. Holly's a little better about the daily meditation than I am, but I'm getting better and better at it.
Oh, man. Tim and Holly Erskine, our guests today, directed and wrote and produced the film The Emissary. It will be, you'll be able to see it if you're in Door County on September 10th, which is a week from today, as a matter of fact. At the Skyway Drive-In Theater. Oh, I would love to be there. I wish I could be in Door County next week, Thursday. I'd definitely go to that to see the movie. And we have some clips and a whole lot more to talk about with the film itself and how a film is actually produced. I was in a film myself about 20 years ago, so I have some insight into it. I played the dead husband. I was the dead husband, but I was always a flashback. So I had my appearances were flashback appearances. So anyway, I know a little bit about how a movie gets put together, at least how it was put together 20 some years ago. So I can maybe help along with that too. But you may have some questions about the movie itself or producing a movie. Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, you kind of co-wrote this?
I wrote the script, but Holly was...
I edited. I inserted a few scenes here and there.
She was indispensable in developing the story and helping solve some blank spots about what we were going to do here. We actually began shooting and commenced the whole thing with some missing scenes where we weren't sure exactly what was going to happen, especially the climax of the movie on the steel bridge. We knew there was going to be a defeat of the bad guys, but we weren't sure exactly how that would play out.
How it was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the old steel bridge in Sturgeon Bay. So we had it closed down, and we're out there in a howling 35-mile-an-hour crosswind, 42 degrees.
In T-shirts.
Yeah, it's supposed to be summer
September.
In the movie.
And ever since that 5 hours, I've never really complained about being cold again because nothing really compares with that experience.
Polar vortex and everything.
Well, we have some. I want to play just before our news break comes up. I want to play at least we have three clips, and we'll play one right now. This is a clip where the three Door County men are taking a sunset awareness walk in Newport State Park. I've been to that many a time. When a small spaceship lands in front of them and the mysterious object starts to open. So let's listen to that.
If I hadn't seen it for myself, I wouldn't believe it.
It's an alien. Awesome. What if he death rays us?
They don't do that.
I thought you didn't believe in aliens.
I don't.
Then how do you know what they do?
I just know.
What are those tentacles? A giant worm?
It's opening. Holy cow.
Oh, my goodness. It's opening. Holy cow. Well, that's a Wisconsin term, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. I love hearing those little clips just in audio because they sound exciting, and I've heard it a million times, so it's fun.
And you can hear our great score by Vince Freights. We bought him a theremin, and we asked him to channel Bernard Herrmann, and we think he did it really well.
Wow. I was going to ask, what's a theremin?
It is
a musical instrument.
It's an instrument. You're waving your hands. It's a response to an electromagnetic field and sings kind of like a soprano violin.
Yeah, it was the first synthesizer in a way. Mm-hmm. Probably came out in the 1920s,
yeah.
And it has an actually two antennas, mm-hmm. And the frequency of this tone is determined by one hand, and the volume is by the other. And it's using all the old classic sci-fi movies with the warbling kind of, it's like an eerie kind of a woman's voice. Those kinds of tones.
And so that's the sound you wanted.
Yeah.
We
wanted orchestra, serious orchestra, combined with little flavors of that just to capture that 50s vibe. One of our favorite movies is The Day the Earth Stood Still,
the
late 50s one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so. So you bought him one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and apparently they're not so easy to learn, and so he spent many, many hours just getting the various takes.
Thank you, Vince.
But it was an epic thing for him to write this whole score. It was at least 6 months of work.
Well, that was beautiful. Mood.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk some more about music as part of a movie, part of a film. Our two guests today, Tim Erskine and Holly Erskine, Tim directed and wrote the film The Emissary. Holly is the producer of the film. She also teaches college chemistry and works as a writer in Door County, Wisconsin. That's where the film was shot. We'll talk some more. They'll be with us right up till 12:30. You stay with us here on the Ideas Network. So great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at a movie and the art of movie making. It's a long process. It takes a lot of patience. You need a dedicated cast and crew to make it run successfully. And we're talking about that today with a couple of people who have produced, directed, wrote the film, a new film from Wisconsin. It's called The Emissary. I would say it's a science fiction in some ways, although things are kind of real, and at least in terms of how things work in the science.
Indeed.
I call it a science fiction comedy mindfulness adventure.
Well, those voices you heard are Tim and Holly Erskine. Holly is producer of The Emissary, teaches college chemistry, works as a writer in Door County. And Tim is the director and writer of The Emissary. He has degrees in mechanical engineering. And, you know, we had a Facebook. And by the way, let me put in here, if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share relating to movies or this particular movie, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. That's where you go. And by the way, go to the Facebook page because we have a link to the Emissary Facebook,
yes,
as well as your website.
Mm-hmm. You can sign up for our newsletter and get updates of when we're playing, where.
And there's a nice trailer. Nice trailer,
yeah,
as well.
Watch our trailer, read our reviews.
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, the Facebook question from Connor. Connor says, I'm an aspiring filmmaker. My projects just don't quite have the look I want. What suggestions would you give to improve video quality as well as overall final product quality. And, you know, you were an engineer, but also an artist, as you talked about earlier. And maybe talk about what you did to achieve what you've achieved.
Sure, sure. Well, one thing I like about photography is that if you're a person who has an artistic eye, you can learn to become a great photographer because it's learning how to apply a technology, and there are only three or four adjustments you can make to any camera that affect the exposure that you get on each frame. So it's a fun thing to teach people who are interested in it because I encourage them that you can get great at this if you have a good eye for composition. That's something that maybe is a little harder to get than just using the camera. I'm sure I could go on for hours about the whole technology stream of getting the image from the camera to the final picture, but a couple of things is that one thing that really affects the look of a picture where you're used to seeing a Hollywood film versus like a video taken by an iPhone is the frame rate, how many frames per second. Movies are running at 24 frames per second, and that has a very discernible impact on the illusion of motion. Higher frame rates look like soap operas or, you know, like a home video. And the 24 frames per second, which is a little bit slower, it kind of creates that sort of slightly unrealistic but beautiful look that movies tend to have. So that's a crucial thing. You should, if you want that look, you need to shoot in 24 frames per second. And it's abbreviated as 24P, which means progressive. Each frame is an individual photograph, all run together at 24 frames per second. And many inexpensive digital single-lens reflex cameras from Canon and Nikon and others can take beautiful 24 frame per second footage.
Is that right?
Yes, and you don't have to spend a ton of money. Of course, with cameras, there is a correlation between cost and quality that's pretty tight. So the more money you have, the bigger your gun is going to be and the better your pictures are going to look. But you can get in at a fairly reasonable amount of money, certainly less than $1,000, and start producing things. People are shooting whole movies on iPhones these days.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's arguable whether or not I want to go to a cinema and watch an iPhone movie. So I have endeavored to have a higher technical quality or more traditional type of filmmaking than an iPhone would give you. But once you become proficient in photography, the bigger your gun, the better your work is going to be, all other things being equal. I would love to have spent $250,000 on a high-end digital camera and lenses.
We
bought a pretty good camera, which is a Canon 5D. Mm-hmm. We started on a Mark II and bought a Mark III halfway through the production and invested in some very high-quality single focal length lenses called prime lenses. A 35mm and an 85mm were the main workhorses in this film, and then we had a wide angle and an image stabilized zoom that were also essential.
So that's it. So there is some quality of equipment does make a difference, although you can get started on something for pretty low.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, now, what is a producer? Now, I know what a producer does, I think, but you had to find talent, actors, and so forth for this? Was that part of your job, Holly?
They're in the form of our friends and family in Door County, so it wasn't hard. We did hire a couple people from Door Shakespeare, Mark Mady and Kay Almond. Really, we were surrounded by incredibly talented people, and we just used them. And they seemed to be happy to be used, so that wasn't actually the hard part. The hard part was maybe just staying up all night filming and just keeping the energy going.
Our two villains are professional actors,
yes.
John Wilson and Mark Mady, and they are just fantastic.
Yeah, they are
good. And everyone in this production was just so much fun to work with and so generous with their time, and it couldn't have been done without them. So I want to take a second just to thank everyone who helped out.
I remember from my own time being, and I only had a few scenes in the movie I was in, and maybe 10 lines, There is a lot of waiting around. I mean, it's not lively is the wrong word. It's not what I imagined, mm-hmm. I guess. I imagine, you go in and you do your part and then you're done.
There's a lot of waiting. There is a lot of waiting. Bring something to read. I would make a big thermos of coffee and snacks and we'd spend most of our time setting up. Tim would say it would only take an hour to set up, and everybody knew that meant 4 hours. And
there's something called Tim time.
Yes.
Like my notion of time runs at about mm-hmm. one-third of reality.
That's my job.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, I'll take care of that.
So what was it like to write fiction? I mean, most of your writing is all over before that was, you know, scientific writing.
Well, I started writing science fiction...
Way back
when I was a teenager.
Okay,
I was
that's
very
right.
inspired by Isaac Asimov. He was one of my favorite sci-fi authors, and he started very young. And I thought, well, if he can do it, maybe I can. So I would write really terrible short stories when I was in high school. But I was very motivated about developing the storytelling. I took creative writing when I was in college, and talked for hours with my creative friends about all the movie ideas that we would come up with and eventually do. And I stuck with that and kept writing things here and there and became involved in addition to crazy family films that were quite entertaining but a very low technical quality. Did some industrial films that were mm-hmm. inappropriately funny, probably for the clients. But I got a little bit of experience doing that. And in the old days, it was much harder to do a budget production at a very high level of quality because you had to go to a studio to do the editing.
And I
just remember sitting behind in the producer desk behind the editor, and just going, would you get out of the way? Let me in there. And I'd have to sit there and watch the guy fumbling around and have to describe everything. And it's been nice to have more immediate control over things and make them happen without the intermediate stuff.
Tim and Holly Erskine, our guests today, as we talk about their film, it's titled The Emissary. Again, join in. Question or comment, 1-800-642-1234. And The Emissary, why that title? How did you come up with The Emissary?
Well, The Emissary is the name that the humans on the colony out at the orbit of Saturn have given themselves.
It's a secret colony.
Because they're the intermediaries between the alien culture and the Earth.
All right. Well, we have a clip, I think, here that explains kind of what it refers to in the context of the film. This is after meeting the three local men, the Kuiper?
Kuiper, yes.
That's a pun, actually.
Kuiper is a pun?
Well, there's Kuiper Belt Objects, or you might pronounce it. Yeah, so he's kind of the emissary from outer space. He's actually human, and he comes to rescue Door County from an alien generator that's about to blow up Door County.
Well, let's listen to that.
Who is we? Where are you from?
We are called the Emissary. We live on a space colony orbiting the sun. There are 30,000 humans living there. It was built thousands of years ago by an alien civilization. Now it's much bigger.
Incredible. Are there aliens there too? What star are they from?
A few. I'm not allowed to say where they're from.
Wow, real aliens. What do they look like?
They're beautiful. Kind of a cross between rhododendron and leopard. They're hilarious, practical jokers.
I can't picture that.
We are a comedy-loving people.
A rhododendron and a leopard?
Yes.
Oh, now that is pretty cool.
I think I put that in there because I get tired of the fact that all the aliens are depicted in a humanoid form with two arms, two legs, two eyes, which is there's a 0% chance that a sentient species will look anything like that. And so I wanted to sort of suggest a completely different form, you know, without exactly specifying what that might be. But I also picture aliens to be beautiful to look at. You know, the way you look at a leopard completely alien in its own way from humans, and yet they're absolutely sensational. And that's what I think aliens would strike us the same way.
An alien, a leopard with a rhododendron out of its head or something.
Yes, yes, or yeah, some kind of organic form.
Or in the form of a rhododendron, sort of.
Yes,
I'm trying to picture this.
Yes, well, don't try too hard.
Maybe we'll have a go at that, at making that real someday.
So what's the hardest part about putting together a film? Is it...
There's tedious aspects of asking for music licensing, being turned down. their world is full of no's, and you just have to realize that you have to keep pushing forward when you hear the word no and believing in your dreams. So we keep cheering each other on and believing in what we're doing.
Yeah, as an indie filmmaker, unlike Hollywood where you see hundreds of people at the end credits, you essentially have to do many of those jobs, maybe not all of them, but you'll find yourself having to learn in sequence very challenging technical things that you have to master and then move on to the next one. And so that is very wearying. Right up to the very last step. The last thing on the list is creating what's called a digital cinema package, or the acronym is DCP, and this is basically a folder of files that is used in professional projection systems like you find at your cinema. Hollywood uses this form to distribute their motion pictures. And so to create one of these and make sure it works, and there's encryption technologies and secret keys that are emailed around, unlock them on given projectors. It's like the very last little tentacle of annoyance around the ankle. It's like, can I just please get this into the theaters? What do I have to do? So that was nice to finally get that finished, and that's what's going to be playing at the Skyway.
So there's no best boy in your production credits?
No, no.
Many best people.
That was one thing that I always, in watching the film credits, I always wondered, I wonder what the best boy.
Yeah, I don't know if I know what that is. I should admit that.
I have no idea. It was, you know, there are usually one of the later credits that comes by, and I thought, I wonder what that person does.
Well, for sure, like the gaffing crew, the guys who put up the lights and run electrical stuff all around, and many times
I was
crying to the sky for a gaffing crew who wasn't there.
So somebody called and wondered if you're working on a sequel already.
Well, no. We've talked many times about fun ideas that would work as sequels.
I'd love to write one, and I am working on the novelization of the movie.
So she's working on the novel. My current thoughts are for some other stories that will require kind of a much more grandiose budget and infrastructure to make them happen. And I don't know whether I can pull all that off. I haven't really begun the process of trying to pitch these things and seeing what help I can get to make them happen. But I do have some very clear ideas of the kind of story I want to tell. And the way I sort of develop stories is over quite a long period, a few years now, the story's been gestating in my mind, like the different elements will pop out. And it's kind of like excavating this story. Like I have the sense that it exists already in some correct form, and I just need to tease out what happens in each scene. And so I've made a lot of progress on that. And when I really have it far along, only then will I really begin writing the script itself, which to me is when I'm writing the script, I experience it as visualizing and seeing everything that happens and hearing the dialogue and just like documenting it. It's almost like a spontaneous thing.
So it's sort of a movie playing in your mind a little bit.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I think it's very helpful to when you're writing a movie to be watching it in your mind and imagining it and imagining the conversations that might happen.
Well, that's really, really cool. And I'm the idea of having it play in Fish Creek is wonderful.
We're
and
really
you did shoot several places in Door County, right?
Oh, all over Door County. Yeah, we have a list of places that may be too long to mention here, but I could post them.
We shot from Gill's Rock to Algoma and kind of everywhere in
Piggly
between.
Wiggly.
Piggly Wiggly plays
Renard's
a part.
Renard's Cheese Factory. We break into Renard's Cheese Factory. I'm the librarian in the Ephraim Library, I'm very proud to say. I play a role.
Renard's Cheese Factory.
Yes, that was really fun. We were up until 4 in the morning filming there. It was
5.
Oh, okay.
the dawn was happening when we left.
My memory.
Oh, my gosh. And I want to play. There's one more. We talked about music earlier, but I've got one other clip that I want to play because I think it shows may show a little bit more about how music can play such an important role in the movie. To give it maybe a little more sentimental tone in some ways, let's listen to this particular. This is with. It's the morning after the spaceman lands, and he visits the meadow in Newport State Park and talks with Jim about his appreciation of being on Earth. So let's listen to that.
Do you ever get used to being under the sky?
Well, I suppose you do. That is, unless you're trying to pay attention, which is what we were trying to do when you landed, as a matter of fact.
I've been to Earth many times, and I cannot get used to it. I just cannot. It makes me feel so big on the inside, and I love it. And all the little wild things everywhere.
Don't you have plants and animals on the colony?
Well, we do. We actually have a lot of them. But it's like a huge garden. You cannot fake the wilderness.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I've got goosebumps, and I've heard that a million times.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. All the birds you hear were singing in real time in the meadow at Newport State Park. That was one of the funnest scenes for us. It was just this perfect morning.
It was unforgettable.
And must have been middle of July sometime. It's just like something out of a dream. And I have to say something about Peter Ciesla, who plays Kuiper. He's just a uniquely talented man, and
he's
just
great.
He's just fantastic in the role, and he's just an absolute pleasure to work with. He's so much fun. He just made everything a great experience. And by the way, Holly's wearing one of his handmade pieces fabric jewelry, which is made of pot shards from Anasazi Indians.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Well, he is
multi-talented, incredibly. A wonderful man to work with at Bazily Studios in Bailey's Harbor.
Bazily Studio. B-A-Z-Y-L-I.
Mess it up.
Studio.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. And the movie. Now, what the movie is going to play on a week from today. A week from tonight. Starts at 7:30, but I think the music starts at 6 or something at the Skyway Drive.
Yes, a local wonderful band called Small Forest is going to play starting around 6 o'clock, and one of the band members, the bass player, is Pat Palmer, who plays the character Mark in The Emissary.
Oh, okay.
And he's an ingenious comic. He's just super funny, and he's very naturally gifted. He was the easiest, one of the easiest actors to work with because he would deliver the line perfectly almost every time. So it was whether I got the photography right or not, or other people were doing things correct, and he was also just a total charmer to work with, and every scene with him was really fun.
And from there, where does it go from here?
Well, we would like to get it out incrementally into probably starting with one city or region at a time. You know, we're new to the whole distribution thing, and things are changing in real time about how indies get their films out, and we just have to be persistent about learning how to do it. We'd love to have a run in Madison, and we're talking with some cinemas
people to
here.
Do that. Well, I tell you what, Holly, Tim, thank you so much, and I want to say that I hope people will go to your Facebook page and to your website, and we have links to it to the film The Emissary. Tim Erskine and Holly Erskine, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was a lot of fun, and I hope you get a big crowd at Skyway, and I hope it gets a wide viewing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.